We are happy you tuned in to us this Sunday afternoon for Take Time for Jesus. We would like to thank those who have helped us with the financial blessing. And at the end of this broadcast, we will give you our email address where you can email us or the P.O. box so you can write us. God bless you. Here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon. Once again, it's Take Time for Jesus. We're just glad to be with you today over the radio and through the computer. We just pray God has richly blessed you over the past days and been with you and supplied your needs. We just thank him for all that he has blessed us with spiritually, physically, and financially. And we just thank God today for that time that he taken out from all other things to die on Calvary's cross for bring forth salvation unto them that would call upon the name of Jesus and give praise and honor unto him, and to recognize that who he is and what he is, and to the purpose of why he came into this world, God manifested in the flesh to die for souls that was lost without any hope, which we as being Gentiles was in a darkness without any hope under the curse of death until the cross of Calvary came into play and Jesus, the man Jesus, hung on the cross, broke down the partition that was between us and brought forth that wherein that whosoever will can call upon his name and be saved. We're happy to report that today, that in the name of Jesus is the only name that I find scripturally that whereby that we can call upon and be saved. So, my friend, if you're looking at some other name or some other way and all, then look to the Word of God. Don't take my word or some other preacher's word, but look to the Word of God and see if what we are saying, them that preach the gospel, that they're saying, and which is truth out of the Word of God. I just praise him today. As we go to prayer now at this time, we pray that you would pray with us as we pray one for another. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for that wonderful name of Jesus and for that time that you came into this world as a man to die on the cross of Calvary for our sins and our iniquities, to bring us and reconcile us unto thyself through Jesus Christ. We just pray, Father, that you would bless those that have an ear to hear, and you would help us to bring forth that which is pleasing in thy sight and to thy hearing, O God. For we know that without you we can do nothing, but the Spirit of God that is within us would let him bring forth this gospel according to your word and not of my own, but because of your word is truth, Lord. I am but a man, but you're God, and we just praise you and we thank you for that has blessed us and kept us all the days of our life, and we praise you and thank you for all things and give praise in all things. So as we pray one for another, we pray that you would touch the hearts of those that hear us and those that are sick amongst us, that you might raise them up for thy glory and for thy name's sake. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for all that is accomplished in the blessed name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I think my wife praise may have Jesus. Something over Thank here you, that she's going to bring forth and there or the maybe the song or whatever.
I just praise the Lord for being here this afternoon again. We missed you last week, but I pray that last week's message was a blessing to you. But we live in a world of sin. All around us is sin. It's not being preached like it used to be. People are not being convicted like they used to be. It's like you just kind of go along with whatever you want to do, do it. But that's not what here we are here to tell you. We are here to tell you what sin is. And I don't believe you can, you know, you can do a little of this and do a little of that and go on your merry way and forget about where you'll spend eternity. But today is the day of salvation. I tell people, live this day as if it's your last. You never know when you go to bed tonight that if you're going to wake up in the morning or not. In fact, when you leave your house, you don't know if you're going to make it back to your house. And you'd be walking around in your house. And something may happen that you may go out into eternity. live each day, every moment of the day, every minute of the day. Keep your mind on Jesus, and you'll make it. But I have a track here to Bob Levins. We were very blessed in our life to have Brother Bobby with us, and he passed away several months ago. But he left behind a lot of tracks for me. I told his wife, I said, I'm running out of tracks. So she gave me four boxes. So I'd like to share this with you this afternoon. It's Label It Sin. The late Dr. J. Wilbur Chaplin used to tell a Methodist preacher who often spoke on the subject of sin, he minced no words but defied sin as that abominable thing that God hates. A leader in his congregation came to him on one occasion and urged him to cease using the ugly word sin. He said, Dr. Blank, we wish you would not speak so plainly about sin. Our young people hearing you will be more likely to indulge in sin. Call it something else, like inhibition or error or a mistake or even a twist in our human nature. I understand what you mean, the preacher remarked, and going to his desk, he brought out a little bottle. This bottle, he said, contains strychnine. You will see that the red label here reads poison. Would you suggest that I change the label and paste one on it that says wintergreen? The more harmless the name, the more dangerous the dose will be. Beware those who would make light of what God hates. And we live in a generation where God hates a lot of things, but people are now saying, well, it's all right. You know, eventually, you know, they'll come around to the Lord and find out that it's sin. But he that doeth to do right
and doeth it not,
and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. I don't care what color you want to color it, what you want to say, sin is sin. And if you know you're doing wrong, you're a sinner. You are not a saint. No matter how many times you go to church, 40 times a week or whatever, if you're not living according to the way that God says and you're in abominable life, God, you are a sinner. You are not a saint. And I've read this several times, or one time, maybe several months ago, but it needs to come out again. It's a dilemma of the two-headed snake. And it contains a message, if you only listen very closely. This is where we are today. When a two-headed snake gets one mouse for dinner, which head gets to eat it? This is a dilemma of a two-headed snake. The University of Tennessee has been studying this problem for several years, ever since a two-headed black snake was brought to them 12 years ago. The snake was donated to the university by two young boys that found the snake in their family garden in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. George Burghardt, a university psychology and zoology professor, has been studying the unique animal for several years. He says that the two heads fight over their mouse dinner, given out twice each month, despite the prey winding up in the same stomach. If one head gets a good grip on the head of the mouse and the other gets a good grip on the tail, they can fight for hours unless you stop them, Burghardt said. All of us are a bit like this two-headed snake. We are creatures with two distinct natures. One is the natural man, the carnal man that seeks to satisfy the lust of the flesh and the hunger for the material. The other nature is the spiritual that craves to worship its creator and hungers for righteousness. If one nature gets a good grip on half of man's will and the other nature gets a good grip on the other half, they can fight for years until one wins and takes control. Paul spoke of this struggle when he wrote, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things." And that's 1 Corinthians 2:14-15. Which snake has gained control in your life? something to think about. We have two natures. Every one of us have two natures. And if we're feeding the carnal nature, you're going to fall. You feed that spiritual nature 24/7. You wake up in the middle of the night, think about God. Don't think about what you're going to do tomorrow, what happened during the day. But put your mind on Jesus, and he'll calm the troubled waters of your soul. May God bless each and every one of you. I love you in Jesus' name. Until next week, when I come back, and now we'll have a song, and I'm off. Praise God anyhow.
As a child, I foolishly turned God away, not knowing the heartbreak a sinner must face. But God, in his goodness, has let me return to share with his children this lesson.
This is Inspiration Radio, AM 1110, WTIS, Tampa, home of the Dave Ramsey and Mike Huckabee shows.
Praise the Lord again. We're just glad to know that God has came to pay for our sin debt when he died on the cross. Sin will carry you, my friend, a lot further than if you stop to think about than you want to go. It will cost you more than you want to pay. It'll cost you life eternally in the domains of hell, and it'll cost you everything. So it'll carry you to a place that you don't want to go. But yet and still, a lot of people is persuaded, because I think because the Bible says that hell has enlarged itself, that in order to accommodate them that wants to go there. But I'm thanking God today that, you know, when a lot of times people inquire and want to know who this man Jesus is, the thing was that when Jesus was walking here on the face of this earth that he created himself, and by his word, and by all things by his word of his power, that everything consists, and he holds it together by his word. So, my friend, today, if we would understand and realize that we need to understand who he is. A lot of people don't recognize him to be who he really is. Some says this and some says something else. But I want you to know that the scripture says that we can understand and know who he is if we will only read what the Bible tells us. A lot of people, and they just don't understand simply because of somebody has said this and somebody has said that, and they have not read what the scripture has to say. But I want you to think about it. In the book of Matthew, in the 16th verse, 16th chapter in the 16th verse, he said, the 15th, he said, and he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said unto him, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, nor flesh nor blood has revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I want you to think about it a little bit. The Word says, the Bible teaches that John records that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the 14th verse says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Praise at another occasion there in Matthew, when they were out in the boat, they was crossing over the Sea of Galilee, and my understanding that history teaches that sometimes some violent winds can arise unexpectedly like. But they were in the boat, and they was going over to the other side. And when, and the, as it says in the 16th, in the 25th verse there in the 9th chapter, it says, and the disciples came to him and woke him up, and said, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, oh, why are you so fearful? Oh, you of little faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? My friend, he was God. He created it all. He was him that stood, rebuked the winds, and everything in the calm came because that he stood and rebuked it.
Jesus.
I want to think about that Jesus is being, he's the only begotten of the Father, but the Father himself, being a spirit according to the word of God, could not come down and die for you and I and be hung on a cross. It's just utterly impossible. He can't take your spirit and do that with it. But I want you to think about it. The spiritual God became flesh and dwelt among us in the man called Jesus. He came and declared the name of his Father. He came and put a face on the living God. He came for the purpose to die on the cross of Calvary because he was the only perfect thing that there was. Back under the old economy, as some people said, but under the law, they had to find a lamb every year. It could not have a spot or a blemish. It had to be the firstborn of the flock. It couldn't even have two or three black hairs on it. It had to be perfect in every way for them to sacrifice it for the sins of the people at that time. But it did not do away with their sins. It just pushed them back. And next year they had to do it all over again. And the lamb slain from the foundation of the world came to exist, God in the flesh, in the fullness of time, that when he sent his only begotten Son into this world, the sonship of God was the flesh that wherein that he dwelt in. The Spirit, as your Spirit dwells in your flesh, so it was with the Spirit of God dwelt in the flesh, the man called Jesus. I want you to think about it, my friend. There, when Jesus came, he didn't come to destroy the law. The law made us conscious of our sin, but he come to fulfill it. He fulfilled all the laws and the righteousness there, and he brought forth salvation only through that wonderful name of Jesus. By his death on the cross, by his shed blood, he paid yours and my sin debt as no other one could do. I couldn't pay my sin debt, neither could you pay for your sin debt. But Jesus came, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was in the mind of God when he created it all, and he knew that Adam was going to fail. He knew that it had to be something that had to be perfect, so he had it in his mind that he was going to come as man in the flesh to die to redeem the world and reconcile it back unto himself from which it had failed. We fell in sin. A lot of people at this time, Jesus, that they look at Jesus, and Jesus was not generally recognized in the position of true power and authority during his earthly ministry. Even his closest fellers failed to recognize his true nature until after he had risen, and then they had been filled with his Spirit. You see, my friend, you cannot take the Word of God and read it in a carnal, like you would a true story magazine or a comic book, read it in the carnal mind, and therefore that you would understand it. You got to have the Spirit of God is to bring you to the knowledge of the truth, and the Spirit of God is the one that brings forth conviction over your soul that would bring you unto God. You got to have the Spirit of God. Now, some people, they read the Bible in the carnal mind. I'll give them that. They'll sit down, they'll read the Bible, but they just read it for just as reading any other book. You're not going to be able to understand what it says unless in the Spirit of God there with you brings forth the spiritual application of it. They didn't think, they thought when Jesus came into this world, he come as a babe born of a woman, and there they thought he was just a mere man. Some of them even said, and then some of them said he was John the Baptist, and some said this, and some of the prophets, and so on and so forth. But he came, it was God in the flesh, came to die for souls that was in sin. As the only hope that we have was in Christ Jesus. The only hope that we have in him is because we accept him as our personal Savior. And Jesus is the only one that can pardon our sins because he was the one that died for our sins. But it's after his resurrection, people began to recognize who he was more generally than they did while he walked around the shores of Galilee. A friend, when he walked out there he didn't go downtown to the big seminars and the big places down there and the school of prophets and everything to get his apostles. He went down on the seashore and got them all there. He even got a tax collector. He even brought forth there, and even one who betrayed him was Judas there. He brought them all together. But my friend, because he had the word of life, he was the word of life. And he told him, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishermen of men. So they followed him. They followed him up for that time that he started his ministry. He went about age of 30. And he was put on the cross at about 33 and a half years of age, and he died. And they come to realize and to recognize who he was by the things that he done. Some of them wanted to take him and make him king because he multiplied the bread and the fishes there. They wanted to do this. The woman at the well of Samaritan there wanted him to give her the living waters where she wouldn't have to come and draw anymore from the well. My friend, it doesn't doesn't work like that. Everybody's wanting God to give them everything that they could possibly hope to have, or have the desires of their heart fulfilled and the desires of their flesh fulfilled there, that we're in, that they won't have to do anything but just sit down and say, Lord, gimme, gimme, gimme. It's not going to work that way. You may as well just forget that and go ahead and surrender your life to the Lord and worship Him in spirit and truth, forsaking not the assembling together, as the church has seemed to be gotten into in this day that we live. Got other things on their minds and everything, and they said, well, I have to go to work on Monday morning and I need my rest, but yet they'll probably set up and do whatever until 10, 11 o'clock anyway, and they still go to work. I was once like that myself, my friend, and I know that that's what they're thinking about. But I want you to know, when God come into my life, when I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my old sinful ways and my nature and everything, He created in me a new heart. He brought me from the things that the flesh desired to do, into the things that the Spirit desires to do. And I desire to worship Him in spirit and truth. I'm not perfect. There was only one perfect one, and that was Jesus Christ, God Himself. You're not perfect, and I'm not. None of the rest of the preachers that preaches the gospel are not perfect. They want everybody to agree with them, but they don't agree with everything themselves. But yet and still, that's the way things are. It's just the old carnal man. That's all it is, the flesh. They want everybody to do this and do that, but they don't want to do it themselves. You remember hearing some time back that one man was preaching, and he'd cry them crocodile tears until he got caught with his hand in the cookie jar. But my friends, today a lot of people had quit going to church because he said, if he can't make it, there's no need of me trying. But yet he made the statement there that if the world gets evangelized, it was going to take him to do it, like he was something other great. But he was only as great as God would make him, as he would allow God to make him. We're all human, and we make mistakes. The thing of it is that Paul said, I die daily. Paul repented daily. And that's meaning that he died to the things that whatever might have been that come up on him during the day. He died and repented every day. He died out to the things of the world and to the flesh. And he wanted to live his concentrated life unto God, because he met him on the road to Damascus one day. And he said that after he had, the old carnal man, after the law, he had papers to go and put them in jail that called upon the name of the Lord. My friend, today we got to realize that there's a lot of them out there today that would put you in jail if they could, because you called upon the name of the Lord. Thank God for religious freedom, but I want you to know there's a lot of religion out there that I don't want to have nothing. I'm saved by the grace of God, not through religious acts and one thing or another, but only by the grace of God through His shed blood in faith, that we have remission of our sins, and that's the only way we're going to make it. I'm still a man. I'm still in the flesh. But He, the hope of glory that dwells in me, keeps me going from day to day. I need God. God can do without me, my friend. So would you too. But we need Him. I need Him desperately for every moment of my life. I need the breath out of His nostrils, still warm from His nostrils, to keep me going. For I found out that I can do nothing without Him, and without Him I am nothing. Because the Bible tells me that I was, being a Gentile, that I was under the curse of death in darkness without any hope, until Jesus came and died on the cross, brought salvation, and He tore down the wall, the partition that was in the temple, that where the high priest could go into once a year, and He broke it down from top to bottom, exposed the holiest of holiest places, to where you and I could come boldly under the throne of grace and have remission of our sins and be considered a child of the King. Hallelujah. But I want you to think about, they didn't recognize Him, even to them that should have known Him, because the prophets of old wrote about Him, wrote how He was to come, and all these things, but they didn't recognize Him. They thought that he was something else that rose up like some of the other people to think that he was something. Even it was brought out to in some of the courts there when they wanted to raise up against the apostles and put them in jail and to kill them and so on and so forth. Paul, he stood for God, but Paul was once the man that persecuted the church. Mm-hmm. He persecuted the Christian people, them that called upon the name of the Lord, until Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. My friend, you're on the road to Damascus. If you're not been born again, you need to come face to face with Christ and be born again of the water and of the Spirit, baptized in his name, and come to realize who this man Jesus is. He's God manifested in the flesh according to the word of God. Not because I said it, but I repeated it out of the Word of God, and I read it, and I believe it. That's cut and dried in my part. I'm satisfied with it. I don't expect everybody to agree with me. I'd be a fool to think that everybody's going to agree with me. They didn't all agree with Jesus, and they took him and crucified him. They didn't all agree with the Apostle Paul, and they taken him and stoned him and walked off and left him for dead. They put him in jail and beat him with rods of iron and all these things simply because they didn't agree with him because he preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. The Lord of glory preached their sins to them and told them about their things, and they didn't agree with him. So who am I to say that everybody's going to agree with me? Who is anybody to say that if you don't agree with me, you need to go someplace else? It's not, that's not right, my friend. I don't care where you're at or who you come from or wherever. Everybody's not going to agree with you. It don't make no difference what school you come from or where part of the world you came from. Everybody's not going to agree with you, and that's the way it is. But my God, I agree with everything that this Word of God says. And that's the only thing that I can take for granted, because I've had a lot of friends in this world. Some of them betrayed me. And just like they betrayed the Lord, some of you've had friends and some of them have betrayed you. Some of them made you feel real small because they didn't agree with something other that you may have said or done. But I want you to know today, I can agree with anybody to be disagreeable, that we can come to agree and still walk this road with hand in hand and love one another if it's possible. But to throw it out there and down someone, that's what they done with Jesus. They didn't agree with him, but they was willing to him to come and multiply the bread, the fishes. They was willing for him to heal all manner of sickness and disease, but they still didn't agree with him when he asked Peter, he said, "Whom do men say that I am?" Some of them said that he was John the Baptist and some of the prophets and one thing and another. But he said, "Peter, who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Flesh and blood ain't told you this, but only the Spirit, my Father in heaven, revealed it to you." My friend, today we got to realize that the Scriptures can't be changed, can't be broken. It's got to come that we got to agree with it. We may not agree with everything else in this world, but we got to have to agree with God. It's not human nature to agree with every little thing that happens. You don't agree with the government, you don't agree with this, you don't agree with that, but yet and still you expect everybody to agree with you. You're out of line, my friend. You're headed in the wrong direction if you think that, and if you're going to try to force that your will on people as being a dictator. So there you go. But nevertheless, they wondered about it. They didn't recognize him until after his death and burial and resurrection. Then they come to realize who he was. Mm-hmm. And therefore that they went on and they accepted him in the most part, but many of them, they didn't go. along with him. They wanted to still down him and still go with him and persecute him. And finally they did. The scribes and the Pharisees, they should have known who he was because the prophets had wrote about him. But they denied him and they had him there and they persecuted him every way. And they was the ones that had him brought up before Pilate and called him a blasphemer and one thing or another. And then I want you to think about it, my friend. They knew that there was something different about him. If you got God in your life, you're going to be a stranger to the world. You're going to be a stranger to them that's out in the night lights. You're going to be a stranger. But if the light of God shows through you and the reflection of Jesus Christ comes forth, that's when you're pleasing to God. And when they see this, that's what they done with Jesus. They seen the God incarnated there in the flesh. They seen who he was, and they didn't like him, so they disagreed with him and had him crucified. Merciful God, we just pray. The Jewish world at that time hated him, and the Gentile world, for the most part, ignored him. Yet there were some who faith in him was strong. These found themselves in the kingdom of righteousness, joy, and peace. In the rulership that existed when the Spirit of Christ lived within us, that reconciled us to God and gave us a great hope of seeing him again someday. My friend, it's time we realized who he is. Because one day, the Bible said that the angel stood there on his ascension. And they said, "Why, you men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into the heavens? For this same Jesus that you see go away will come again in like manner." One day he's going to step out and he's going to claim his bride. And then he's going to come back again with all the saints. And he's going to put his foot upon Mount Olive and it's going to cruise away. And all them that thinks that everything's okay is going to run for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits upon the throne. You see, he comes first to gather his bride. But when he comes back again on that white charging horse and all of his saints to follow him, according to the book of Revelation, he's coming to do battle. And that's when he's going to do that battle of Armageddon, and he's going to put all sin and strife down below him and put it under his feet and do away with it and cast the devil himself and all the false prophets that taught another religion, that taught another name, that brought forth there. He cast them all into the lake of fire. My friend, it's better to serve God than to serve mammon. Some people want to have everything. They want to have all of it. But they want God to take them in as they are. He will take you in as you are. You can be an old rank sinner. You can crawl out from under a bridge somewhere or another, be down in sin, and you can come earnestly before God, asking him to forgive you, and with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and if you truly want forgiveness, he will forgive you. But my friend, just to go and say that you're going to make it anyway, you're going to go to heaven whether you like it or not, it's wrong, my friend. The devil has told you a lie, and you believe it, and you're going to fall in there, and then he's going to laugh at you. As I've often heard some of the fellas say, that he'll laugh at you when you're falling into hell, and when he gets you there, he'll laugh at you and beat you in the face with the sun. But I don't know about that, but that's what I've heard in the past. But they didn't know who Jesus was, and that's why he crucified him. They were looking for a king to come, but they crucified the king that came. They was looking for a Messiah, but when he came, they didn't recognize him because he came not on a white charging horse, but he rode into Jerusalem on the foal of an ass and with peace in his mind to bring salvation and righteousness unto them that was lost without any hope. He brought it forth there. as a history teaches, that if a man comes up riding up on a mule, that he come in peace. But if he come on a charging horse with a sword in his hand, he came to do battle. But he came on that day as a on the fold of an ass, wherever a man had never sat. And he came riding in Jerusalem, and they cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna." Not too long after that, that same group was hollering, "Crucify him." Some of them, they wanted to know, Pilate said, "Who? It's this time of the year we have to release one of them that is in prison, so I'll release Jesus to you." "No, no, give us Barabbas," which was a murderer and a thief. But they'd rather have him than they had the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory, the one that came to die for him. The one that came with salvation only in his heart to save them from their sins. They said, "Take him and crucify him." What will I do with Jesus? What have you done with him today? Have you worshiped him in spirit and in truth, or you said, "Away with him"? Honey, if you trampled around and don't believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, then you're doing the same thing that they done. I don't care what denomination you come from or what side of the road you're walking on or what side of the world you on. If you haven't come to Jesus and you denied to serve him, you're not serving him, you're hollering, "Crucify him, away with him." My friend, today, if I just pray God would give you an ear to hear and a heart to believe, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the days we're living in is perilous times. I read in the paper this morning where this lady, 30-some-odd years old, killed her children and hanged herself. She'd had some problems. But honey, there's no problem that's going to arise in your life that God can't help you to resolve if you put it in his hand and trust him with it. But it's too late after you've taken your life. You can't get no forgiveness of that or nothing else. You're lost. Thank God for the children was innocent about it. But my friend, today we've had a lot of people that is come down the road and they've killed and lamed and mangled people all down through the times because it dictators. They want to force their will upon somebody else. It's happening all around. We're living in the last days. If you look about and see the things that happen, read your word and see if they're not speaking about these days we live in. Kingdoms against kingdoms, with all this year rioting and going on, and these people killing one another, even to their own people. They don't know what they're doing. They just want to do something other. There, over these other countries around about, destroying their own neighbors' automobiles and homes and everything. Why? Because sin has run rampant in their lives so long until they have sought after a false god and they've denied the true living God until they've such a devil-possessed people until they can't do nothing except do whatever the old flesh desires to do, and they do it. My friend, it's time we begin to realize and wake up and realize and understand that these days we live in, it's coming to come to an end one day. And if you haven't been born again, if you haven't recognized this man called Jesus, if you hadn't come down toe-to-toe with him and asked him to forgive you of your sins, you're going to be lost. Plain and simple. A brother was in the station here just a little bit ago, and we was talking about that. Except you've been born again, you'll in no wise enter therein. And when we stand before the judgment of God, as I've said before, as we was talking there, and the Lord says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you." If you hadn't been born again, you're a worker of iniquity. You're not saved. My friend, and if he says depart, ain't no lawyer going to jump up around and say, "Hey, we want a new trial. We got to get a new jury. We're going to move this trial to some other place where we feel like we can get a more fair jury conviction." It's going to be depart, you're going to depart. Ain't going to be no second go around after that. And if it says enter therein, we can enter into the joy of the Lord for eternity. But them that depart from me, you work of iniquity, fall into the pits of hell, where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for eternity. My friend, it's your choice. It's my choice. I choose to serve the Lord. What is yours? That's depends upon you. These people had the right to make a choice. Paul, on the road to Damascus, he had made a choice that the law was righteous. But when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, in the light of all of his glory, and when he seen him, scales fell upon his eyes. He walked blinded into Damascus. My friend today, if he'd he recognized who he said, but he said, Lord, who art thou? And he said, I am Jesus, of whom thou persecutest. It's hard to kick against the brick. My friend, today, if you're kicking against this gospel of Jesus Christ, you're wrong. If you're looking for someone else and to something else for salvation, you're looking in the wrong direction, because Jesus is the only one, the only name that you can call upon and have your sins forgiven. Through his shed blood, through faith in him, is our only hope. I don't care about whatever else it may be, whatever else that may come. Jesus came into this world to save sinners such as you and I. He died on Calvary's cross. He gave his life for your life. He shed his blood for the remission of sin. For without the shedding of blood there, it was no remission of sin. And that which was perfect came into this disoriented world and died for the imperfect, that he may become perfect in Christ Jesus and be born again of the water and of the Spirit, and to serve the true and the living God, whereby that he can have that which is God promised, eternal life. Win the crown of life. You run a race, we're running a race, my friend. We're running to win. If you got Jesus on your side, if you're running for the glory of God and you're pressing on toward the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus, as Paul said, when it comes your time to depart from this life, whether it be in the rapture or you go by the way of the grave, that when that resurrection comes, that Jesus comes in the clouds of glory to claim his bride, you come out of the tomb or you'll be changed from mortal to immortality, from corruption to incorruption, and there we can be with the Lord forevermore. It's our only hope. Anything else than that, it's lost. You got your hope in your job or whomever and everything, your wife, your husband, or your children, or the president, or whomever. You're looking in the wrong direction. Jesus is the life giver. He's the only one that can save you from your sins. He's the only one that can bring you into the place to where he said, I'll go and prepare for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. President ain't going to come drag you into his domains up there. Of course, he'd liable to be thrown out himself for long. I don't know. But I'm telling you, my friends, if it comes down to it, you need to get on the side with Jesus. You need to take Jesus as your Savior, not rely upon a man, an arm of flesh, but upon the Spirit of the living God. Jesus is his name. For there's no other name given among man whereby that we can be saved but at the name of Jesus. He's the one that died for you. He shed the blood for you. He's the only one that can save you. My friend, it's just not possible for any other way. Jesus' hands and side was pierced. Following his resurrection, Jesus made numerous post-resurrection appearances to his disciples. When Jesus first appeared in the disciple collective, Thomas, called Didymus, was not present. When they told him, he said, I won't believe. In other words, I got to see for myself. I got to put my hands in the nail print. I got to put my hand in his side where he was pierced. But when Jesus came in by, where, in the place there where they were shut up, he said, Thomas, behold my hands. Faint not, but place your hand in my side. Thomas fell at his feet and said, my Lord and my God. My friend, have you got to see him before you can trust him? I haven't seen him yet, but I sure have felt his presence around me many, many times. I felt the touch of the healing hand of God many times. I felt his presence. When I drove a truck for a number of years, but I'd be going down the road praying, felt the presence of God with me. Oh, don't try to tell me that he's not real. He's done too much for me to deny him. He's never done me no wrong, so why should I deny? Job, after all that Job went through, honey, you ain't went through nothing like Job has, and I haven't either. Lost it all, just him and his wife. But he sat down on a pile of ashes, scraping himself with boils and everything, scraping himself with a piece of broken pottery. His wife told him, he said, well, let's go ahead and curse God and die. He said, you speak as a foolish woman. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, that's faith in God. He hadn't ever seen him face to face himself, but he trusted in him. Mm-hmm. But that was way back, before the law came into force. But Job sacrificed daily for his children just in case they had displeased God. He lost it all, my friend, but he gained it all back because he was faithful, because he stayed true and said, yet even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'm not going to curse him, as the devil said, I'll make him curse you to your face. He stood firm in the promise, stood firm in his faith, and he said, even though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And God brought some of them, my friends of his, back and made him pay him back for some of the loss he had. And he came up and he had fairer sons and daughters, came to have more than he had when he lost it all. The devil took it away from him, but God restored it back more than he had. My friend, you cannot displease God and expect him to be merciful to you and give you your desires of your heart. You're going to have to repent and come unto him and receive him as your Savior in order to receive your blessings. He told them that many of them, when he touched them, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. I've been in revivals and prayed for people to be healed, and God healed them. But I told them, go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. What could be worse than maybe a cancer, a heart attack, or another cancer, or whatever? My friend, don't play with God. He's not someone that you can toy with like a child and you out there in the yard playing tug of war. Just surrender to him and let his will be done in your life, and you will find that the peace that surpasses all of our understanding is all in Christ Jesus, in that blessed name where our hope is. I pray that we said something that might encourage you and help you in this life, that you'll turn your life over to God. If you don't know him, you'll begin to learn about him and let him come into your life. I just praise God for you today, and thank you for listening. And we just pray, God, that would bless you and help you, give you an ear to hear and a heart to believe in him and trust in him and give him praise and honor. We just pray that God will help you in this life. Heavenly Father, bless those that have heard us. Help us, O God, with understanding in all things, giving you praise and glory for all things. And in all things, we give you the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Bless them, Lord, according to your riches in glory. We give you the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Until next week, may God bless you, my friend.
We would like to invite you to come to our church, Christian Growth Fellowship, where Pastor Pennington brings the Word of God every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Wednesday night Bible study at 7. The church is located at 149 April Lane in Tampa, Florida, 33613. If you don't have a church home, come join the family at ours. If Take Time for Jesus has been a blessing to you, email taketimeforjesus@wtis1110.com or write Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. God bless. That's all my heart to feel, and grace my